Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. We have a fine 1 hour show for you tonight. We have a short panel tonight, and I mean that figuratively, not literally. Starting off with the biggest supporter of Paul Heyman since Todd Gordon, Nikki Heyman.
Good evening, Mr. Seidelman, and good evening to everyone in the interwebs.
Yes, and we'd like to introduce you to a new player here on our game. He hails from Cholula, Washington. His favorite interests are Ring of Honor, high school women, and Ring of Honor. This is Andy Duke, ladies and gentlemen. Give Andy Duke a big round of applause.
Hey, everybody out there. I think my voice is a little back to normal. Anyone who heard my show last night sounded like I was on helium.
It's always fun to be on helium.
Weak.
Andy, wait. You have the floor for about 30 or so seconds. Introduce the world to yourself.
Rob said, I'm Andy Duke from Cholula, Washington, other side of the state from Rob. You're from Tacoma, right?
Sadly.
I know. But, yeah, I'm new to this whole podcast thing. I have my own show, Andy Duke's Party Line. You can find me on MySpace or on Blog Talk Radio. Just search Andy Duke's Party Line. Everything should come up. You can subscribe to me on iTunes. Should be cool. My official debut show is tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern time. That's really about it.
That sounds like a good idea to me. We have a good show for you lined up. Due up on this episode, we have WrestleMania results and the results of the Pick'ems. Ric Flair's farewell. Matt Morgan finally injecting himself more into TNA. And finally, we actually try to figure out what's going on in the world of Ring of Honor. But we must always start, after a pay-per-view, with pay-per-view results. Now, these are fun.
I have a feeling I got killed this time.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Everybody got killed.
Well, if everybody got killed, then I feel a little better.
But some people did okay. We'll start off with what we talked about in order. First one was the ECW title match, and this one point was awarded if you picked the right winner of the title and if Chavo would lose the belt, and if so, who would get the belt? That's the way it worked. Everybody got it right that Chavo would lose the belt. However, Nikki, you got it right that Kane would get the belt.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So Nikki got the full point. The rest of us got a half a point. Then we talked about the worst match of the night, Bunny Mania. What a sign for heaven that was.
The karmic retaliation of the lights going out about three quarters through the match, yeah.
Did you watch WrestleMania, Andy Duke?
I was actually in New York during WrestleMania, so I didn't get to see it. First year since WrestleMania 20 that I've missed one, and I'm a little upset.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but I'll...
Well, don't worry, I didn't watch it either.
Oh, no worries then.
Bunny Mania, everybody got it wrong, except for me. I picked the winner. Beth Phoenix and Melina won the match and got me the point.
But you noticed that none of us said that everybody was going to win because it was a Divas match.
No, that would mean nobody would win. And then when you had... Then we have Finley versus JBL. Everybody got that one wrong.
Which is
all of us said Finley, and JBL won that one. However, Lucas did have 1 point right, and that Hornswoggle would come back.
Mhm. And I find it interesting from the tone of SmackDown, and I apologize because I know you guys have not seen SmackDown yet, or it's just starting there.
It's just starting on SmackDown right now.
Okay. The implication is that this feud is over, and that makes me sad. And you'll see what I mean later on in SmackDown if you do make it all the way through the show.
Right, and what went down on Raw, and we'll talk about that later on the show, which may indicate that the feud's over also.
Right.
Then we get to Batista versus Umaga. We haven't got the continuation of that feud yet.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to the match, me and you had it right that Batista would win.
Although, I'll tell you what, the fans didn't win this one. There were some very, very sloppy points, including the finish. This was the ugliest Batista bomb I've ever seen.
Maybe Batista saw Awesome Kong's awesome bomb.
No, Batista doesn't know how to powerbomb a Samoan.
Good point. And then we had Flair versus Michaels. Everybody got that one right. Michaels won, Flair lost. And we'll talk about Flair's finale in a little bit after we get through this.
Right.
Money in the Bank. Lucas was the only one that got that one right. Actually, bonus points for Lucas because he also had Matt Hardy returning, right?
I had Matt Hardy on there. Or did I?
No, you didn't.
Shame on me.
No, you did call it, but... No, I remember you did call it.
I also want to have a saying that a face was going to get it, and both faces were on the ladder at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I ain't getting it.
Right. You ain't getting any points. Mayweather Show. Everybody got that one wrong. Show got that one. Mayweather won. With the help of six or so bodyguards, a steel chair, and brass knucks.
Point of order.
Mm-hmm.
One of Mayweather's posse was an FCW guy.
Charles Evans?
Charles Hammer Evans. He was the one who got his shirt ripped off and he got thrown around in the middle of the match.
Which would mean that he would be almost ready to come up.
I hope so. He deserves it. He's a hard worker.
Then we had Edge versus Taker. Everybody got that one right. Taker wins 16-0. And Andy, he came out in his... Ministry garb.
Oh, wow.
It was gorgeous.
That's really shocking, because everything I've heard, Undertaker says he hated the whole Ministry thing completely. So
I'm not sure why he chose the Ministry robe this time around, but it caught us all off guard and just made it that much cooler.
That is cool. Yeah, I'll definitely have to check out, like, a rebroadcast of it or something, download it, buy the DVD, do something, I don't know.
I know it'll be on a WWE 24/7 in about 3 months' time.
I have Dish, they don't let me do stuff like that, it sucks.
You don't have WWE 24/7?
Unfortunately, no.
What cable system do you have, or do you have Dish?
Dish.
That's why.
I know, it sucks. Terrible.
Somebody calling through my end, I'll just ignore them. It's nobody. Then we get to Orton, H, and Cena. Are you guys still there?
I'm here.
Alright, just checking. Everybody got that one wrong. Orton retained.
Because nobody wants to back Orton.
And for good reason. So ready for the final tally?
Yes.
Trista got 2.5 points, so she loses the belt. No. Who won it last time? You did.
I killed everybody for the TNA pay-per-view.
Yeah, so you have the belt right now.
Right.
Lucas has 3.5. You have 4. But with my correct prediction on the Bunny Mania match, I, Robert Seidelman, am your pick'em winner and new title holder. Patrick?
What's your final total?
4.5.
Dude.
You had 4.
I know. But dude, anyway.
That's like some classic tic-tac-toe 90 to bring the belt from Ohio over here to Tacoma, Washington.
Okay, we'll see what happens when we do the lockdown.
Yeah, we'll have the lockdown predict. Yeah. Well, the reason why I didn't take the call was because I know who it is, and they know that I do a show. It's not somebody calling into the show. They were calling into my home.
Are you? You're yelling at the chat room, aren't you?
Yeah, it's that. And if I take that call, I immediately get disconnected.
Don't take it. Let's keep going.
Yes, let's keep going. I won.
You might only hold it for 2 weeks.
Same way you did.
I held it for a month. Where were you?
No, you only held it for 3 weeks.
Okay, 3 weeks, but closer to a month. I still want my half point for calling a face on the ladder, but that's okay.
Nope. But, no, what are your thoughts on WrestleMania?
Well, I thought it was actually a pretty darn good show, but there was a few matches on there that made me scratch my head and said, what is this doing here? Because they were hitting on all cylinders when it came to Michaels Flair, when it came to the Triple Threat, when it came to Edge Undertaker. Batista Umaga had zero build-up. It was just a thrown suggestion out there. Finlay JBL was probably could have used some different type of build-up, although this whole storyline had kind of lost its way since about, November.
Mm-hmm.
Bunny Mania, obligatory Divas match. That's all I'm going to say about it. So it was a good Mania. It wasn't a great Mania, but everybody will remember it as the last night Ric Flair got the style and profile. So it will be remembered fondly.
Andy?
Yeah?
Your thoughts on the aftermath of WrestleMania?
As neither of you two know, I pretty much quit watching WWE after last WrestleMania. I think I've watched a total of maybe 5 shows since WrestleMania 23. I caught all of Raw, first Raw I've watched beginning to end since November of last year. And it was awesome. It was probably one of the best Raws I've ever seen, both in-ring, promos, everything. It was very well put together. I hope it's a new direction WWE is taking.
It would be an awesome for the way it would be taking. And if you guys want to get on the show, the number is 1-646-716-9678. We also have the chat room open if you want to chat with some people. And we have a caller.
Yes, caller,
you're on
the air. We have a very important caller. We have a very classic caller. We have a very legendary caller.
Is that you, D?
We have a very standard caller.
Yeah, oh, God, it's Jeffrey again. He's just using a D2 voice.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is the incomparable, the undeniable, the impenetrable, the unimaginative, the unbelievably impenetrable.
Thank you, Jim.
Unholy soldier himself, D2. Who all we got on the show tonight? How's everybody doing?
We're here, D.
All right. Yeah. So we got Nikki, we got Robert. Is it just the three of us right now?
I know we got a fourth. Andy, speak up.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Andy! What's
hey.
Up, buddy?
Not much.
My buddy's playing with the General Lee. But as I made mention to on the forums, I know, Nikki, you didn't read this because, well, you don't really frequent them as much as us, but I said I had a blockbuster bombshell that I was going to drop tonight 15 minutes into the show. It is now 15 minutes into the show, and I, being the king of the blockbuster bombshells, the king of the shoots, for those that really know me, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, assembled panel, those loving me that listen at home, I have some sad, sad news for everybody. For tonight is the very last night you will hear this sweet, sensual voice on this show.
Oh, come on. Don't tell me you're leaving, too.
Nikki, it has been a pleasure, a real pleasure, working with you these past month and a half, 2 months. Someone that shares my sick and twisted vision, if you want to look into it deep enough. It's been a...
Would you stop playing with the toys?
He's like a little kid, I swear.
You're ruining this for me, Rick.
But it's been a pleasure working with you, Nikki.
It's
Andy,
been an honor.
You're good Andy, you're good people. I remember you for your 2 months. You were in KPW.
Yeah.
You should come back. KPWWrestling.ProBoard61.com.
I was thinking
everybody
about
should come
day.
Back.
I was thinking about it like Saturday, I think. No, I was in New York Saturday. It's been Tuesday.
Hey. See, more people we can get, the better. But, yes, I am leaving the show. And my reasons for that are really quite simple. Myself and the beautiful Trista Timpson, as well as Sinister One and possibility of Huss, every Sunday before pay-per-view, 1 hour prior to the pay-per-view, DTA Radio will be having an exclusive pay-per-view pre-show. We will run down the card, we will run down the angles, we will run down everything leading into the event itself at blogtalkradio.com/DTA radio. Also, at least once a month, on Friday night, woo, 10 o'clock p.m., we will have an exclusive interview with one industry insider at least once a month. Our first interview, May 2nd, will be with the one and only most hated hype man in professional wrestling history. The
Mark
announcer.
Men.
Shush.
Ah.
I'm about to start shooting. The ring announcer for FX. Some people know him as GQ Money. Some people know him as Ryan Katz. Some people know him as the man who blew $10,000 saying higher than a 10 on Card Sharks. Fabian Kalin.
Stop playing with your snake.
Wait a minute. Fabian Kalin was on Card Sharks?
Yes.
What year?
$10,000 higher than a 10.
What
and
year?
Also, I have no idea. It's been a while. Anyway, as I was saying, also our very next interview after that will be with another man that I alluded to last week with Trista on her last show. The primary reason she is strictly doing our show, aside from phone bills, a member of the Age of the Fall and the uncrowned ROH World Heavyweight Champion, Tyler Black, will be on DTA Radio.
That's awesome.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you see, it's a very personal and emotional thing here, because Trista, she didn't really want to leave the show, but... Nikki, I'm pretty sure you know why she left the show.
I have heard a couple.
Oh. See, if there's one thing that anybody that knows me will tell you, it's that
I'm a shooter. Yes, that is a giant fish with water in it and bubbles.
God, he's a little kid, I swear. He's 21 years old.
It's like I'm babysitting.
Is Sean Matthews over there? Is that Sean Matthews working over there?
No. Wouldn't be surprised.
Although, speaking of that, you better get in touch with him or you're not getting comp for in San Diego tomorrow.
I would have, but I found out that I had to work. I was just about to shoot a female once I got home.
All right.
I wouldn't expect that I had to work. I would have definitely been there.
All right. I'll steal your comp.
But, oh, thank you. But, Nikki, you know what I'm alluding to here. I know what I'm alluding to here. Krista, you know what I'm alluding to here because you're listening to the show. I told you to. But
I'm out in the cold.
Exactly, and that's half the reason. You see, I'm a shooter. People know me well enough, know that that's the part of Uncle Paul that really came out in me. Aside from the creative genius is the fact that I'm not afraid to tell you what I feel. And that's half the reason I decided to call in tonight, because I was just going to let it slide and say, hey, I'm not going to be on anymore. Love you guys. Bye-bye. But I realized that I've been doing a severe injustice to everybody.
Yes, it's a super flying Zuber disc. Would you cut it out?
Tase him.
If I had a taser, right in the neck.
Yes, it's a Frisbee. Thank you.
Where was I? Shit.
Something about shooting somebody. Start with him.
No. Physically, I'm about to shoot him. But, you see, I'm the kind of guy that'll tell you how I feel. And as of late, I've noticed it too, towards other people, primarily Trista. As of late, I noticed it to myself, but Robert, mi amigo, my friend, my companion. Before I say anything else, I want to say thank you. You provided the idea for the revolution. Because in all honesty, the first time I called in, it was as a favor to Trista because she was bored out of her mind. Nikki, you were doing great, but the dull, monotonous, corny, expressionary expressions that were going on through the show, she was bored and said, D, save me. So I took it upon myself to form in my mind a beautiful little gimmick where I would slowly come in with, at the time it was going to be another buddy of mine, but that turned into another situation. Slowly come in, weave my way into the show, and through time, possibly a 3-4 month insertion in here, take over and start out into my own show. But then I started to feel around in here and realize that it's quite a lovey-dovey family as long as people know their role. And as long as people allow other people to talk. And as long as other people have expressionary opinions that really kind of make sense in the context and don't just end up into a corny joke that nobody really laughs at. So you know what? Right now, I'm going to take a high road because I planned on coming in here and just shooting horribly and cutting down everything except for you, Nikki, because you're amazing.
Thank you.
Much love.
You're just doing this to get me to crash your show.
What?
You're trying to get me to get on your show.
Oh, no. If I wanted to try and politic that in there, I would. But I'm not trying to do that. Because this was your show. This was Robert's thing. And if anything, I don't want to try and do that. Because the last thing I need to be is compared to Eric Bischoff, too.
Don't worry, I'm not getting paid either way.
Oh, well, in that case, hey.
But I'm interrupting you slowly.
Oh, no, I don't mind at all. It's a fun interaction here. I mean, I'm enjoying it. You're enjoying it. Everybody's enjoying it. But I'm going to take this time to go out on one final note here. The little monologue that I had a few weeks ago that nobody could really hear that well, it led to an interesting point. I've listened to the fans. I've heard the reactions. And I've heard the reactions of some people that have said that they've had more fun on one show that I've done than they've ever had in their entire life. That they hope the success of this show goes skyrocketing to the top. And they realize that with two linchpins gone, It's nothing more than a sinking ship. So, ladies and gentlemen, I wave goodbye from my WWE and say goodbye to the WCW that is. It's been a pleasure, and now I take my bow.
And with that, D2 steps away from our series.
That makes two. But we'll survive. We'll persevere. It's the only thing that we can do. Film at 11.
We've got 35 minutes. Let's see how much more damage we can do.
How many people we lose? Okay, now we move on to that note. Let's excuse me, let me get a drink here.
No problem.
We had two people's final shows. Trista's was last week. And I guess this week was D2's farewell. And on Raw, it was Ric Flair's farewell.
Which was
and,
very, yes.
And one word described that, and that is class.
Mm-hmm.
So very classy.
I see we have company.
We do. Caller, hello.
What's up, guys?
Hello.
DJ?
Hello. Yes.
Ah. Good evening, DJ.
Good evening to you, Miss Heyman. Good evening, Robert.
Evening, DJ.
Just figured since everybody was leaving, I might as well join in. Make it a little more comfy in the confines.
Oh, we have some open seats, please.
Mm-hmm. Let me reintroduce everybody. We have Nikki Heyman, we have Andy Duke, and we have DJ.
Hey.
Now, if we have Cammy, T-Hawk, and Faye Long, we'd have a hell of a party.
Now.
As I was saying earlier,
we were thinking of Ric Flair's farewell speech.
Yeah, Ric Flair's farewell speech, and the people that came out to give him a fond farewell. On air that got called out, you had the Four Horsemen incarnation that was in 98, which was Anderson, Blanchard, J.J. Dillon, and Barry Windham.
Mm-hmm.
Right after Luger turned face. You had Ricky the Dragon Steamboat come out. And don't you guys find it odd that David Flair now looks like Ric Flair? Physically looks like when Ric Flair started out in wrestling.
Ric Flair was huge when he started out.
Mm-hmm.
Like physically.
And look at David Flair now.
I thought David Flair looked like the guy from Joe Schmo 1, that reality show on Spike TV.
I know somebody who owns the DVDs of that show, Matt Kennedy Gould.
You're going to go back and look, and you're just going to be like, oh, my God, David Flair. You'll never be able to watch it the same again.
And Reed looks like a Rhodes.
Which one?
At least I thought he looked like a Rhodes.
Hmm.
I had to sit there and scratch my head. I mean, then again, the last time I saw Reed was in WCW when he was helping somebody shave his daddy's head.
I remember, I think it was near Great American Bash 2000.
Likely. I do remember it. I also remember the Thunder taping that I attended in Orlando, watching Reed play football with some of the other guys in the parking lot.
I'm guessing that was November 2000?
Actually, March of 2000.
Oh, right after Uncensored.
Yeah, the Uncensored tour, my first multi-day road trip. Which reminds me, DJ?
Yes.
Dayton on sale tomorrow if you are interested. Mother's Day.
That is May 11th, correct?
That's correct.
I will have to see because I think my sister's junior prom is that weekend, and I don't know if I'm heading home or not. So I was thinking about this in the last couple of days because I looked at the WWE schedule and realized that Dayton was the only one that's coming up. And I'm kind of surprised because I thought they'd throw Columbus in there since they haven't been back since September. But I guess Dayton is my only hope before school is out.
Well, there's Toledo.
There is Toledo on the next night.
Right, but I'm going to Detroit, so I'm not going to be at that one.
Aha.
And as we were getting back on track, that's okay. Let me just pull up Online World of Wrestling and find out who all appeared.
All right.
I know I should normally have it always right in front of me, but I'm a little shooken up right now. Okay, here it is. Batista came out. Harley Race came out. Greg the Hammer Valentine, which is sort of a loose connection.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Malenko, the last member of the Four Horsemen.
Mm-hmm.
Who got in 98.
Too bad Paul Roma didn't come out. That really bummed me out. I was hoping it'd be Paul Roma and Steve Michael coming out. Good old fashion.
I think Steve's completely done with wrestling.
Yeah, I don't think they'd let Mongo in the building. They know what he can't do.
Wrestle.
Exactly.
I was rooting for Fifi to come out from Flair for the Gold, but that never happened.
Then we had Chris Jericho come out. Anybody know that connection?
That's the one that threw me, because it would have had to be WCW, because he never really had any strong interactions with Flair in WWE that I was aware of.
Maybe except for a few matches in 96.
Do you guys notice, though, that the only ones that actually got to come down on their own with their music were all the faces and wrestlers who pretty much were a lot closer to Ric Flair, like Edge and The Big Show and Orton, who Flair kind of helped mold in his early years. Those guys had to come down with the entire roster at the end. That's the one thing that I think. I don't think Jericho would have been brought down on his own. But the fact that he's a face on the Raw roster, I think that they threw him in there, and they were kind of close in WCW, I suppose.
And the one that really threw people? John Cena.
I think that was just a gesture on the WWE, because Cena is one of their top guys right now, and is pretty much the guy who's been carrying the company for the last 3 years. And they owe Cena that courtesy, no matter what we fans think of him.
One of the coolest things was one of the ending shots where you had Ric Flair simultaneously hugging John Cena and Harley Race. I mean, he worked Starrcade 83 with Harley Race, and he's worked numerous tag team matches with John Cena in recent years. That's the spectrum of Ric Flair, that he's worked with guys like Harley Race, who are legends in this business. And then he's worked with the up-and-comers, the stars of tomorrow, like John Cena, stars of today, and like John Cena and the stars of tomorrow. So, I mean, that's really the essence of Ric Flair right there. And I thought that was kind of a neat shot to kind of take away from that whole ceremony, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
To answer the head-scratcher, though, the fact that Dusty Rhodes did a video package is that he was still in Tampa trying to get FCW up and running. So
right.
He was not physically at the arena.
Who wasn't? Dusty?
Dusty.
Right. And Shawn Michaels came out and cried along with Ric Flair as they embraced in the crowded ring. That was the last solo entrance. And then everybody came out, and as the show went off the air, which has become a very hot YouTube video, The Undertaker and Vince both came out to show respect for Ric Flair. Undertaker had his own music, and I believe Vince did as well.
I have not seen this video yet. A couple people have told me to go look for it.
WWE, I hear, is working very hard to try to get it down, with working with YouTube to get it taken down, but I have already saved it locally to my computer, so because I knew that they were going to try to do that right away. But it's still up as of last night. There were still some people who were posting it. It must have been the same video that was going around, but it was still up as of late last night.
Well, I've come across a fan video, but I don't think this is the one they're talking about.
It's really up high, and it moves around a lot, so it's hard. Somebody, whoever's taking the video, isn't keeping their camera very steady, so it's like moving around a lot. So if that's the one you see, then that's the one it probably is.
Okay, then I am going to drop this while I've got it in front of me.
All right. Let's see what else happened here. we had the return of Crime Time.
Which nobody saw coming. Nobody.
One thing that I thought was interesting is on their MySpace pages, they actually had like a default pick that said TNAB, which led a lot of people to believe that they were going to TNA, that was on the horizon. And especially with the whole spring cleaning, people usually get subtracted from the roster after. They usually don't bring people back, so that was kind of a shocker that those two, and the review that they got for what they did at work, I think it was a house show with Kate and Murdoch, ironically. I didn't think that they would be brought back, but hey, I guess when they say anything can happen, it's the wrestling business. I mean, anything can happen.
And that's pretty much what happened here. I dropped Mr. Gaspard a line. I have him on my MySpace list, and just wanted to remind him that that Crime Time's still sitting on a number one contendership. They won right after Royal Rumble 07, or right before it. I'm sorry.
Actually, I believe it was during the pay per view.
Yeah, they won a number one contendership that they never used.
Good point.
I reminded Mr. Gaspard of this, and I hope that it actually comes up. We'll see.
I thought Carlito and Santino Marella have number one contendership.
Well, they do now. But Crime Time won theirs over a year ago. I would hope it hasn't expired.
We need to call someone and ask if there's a statute of limitations on number one contendership.
I mean, if it works like Money in the Bank, then it's expired, and I understand completely. But, you know, you never. This is one I don't know the straight answer to.
I don't think anybody does.
Someone get Vince on the phone.
I don't have his number, and I don't feel like waking him up.
You would have to call him to this number. Anyways, I was also very shocked that they came back.
We just had two really good tag team matches this week. That was what surprised me the most, not who was in them, but usually we don't have one tag team match a week. We had two pretty good ones right there. So we had Crime Time and Kaden Murdoch, and then we had Cody Rhodes and Hardcore Holly against Brian Kendrick and Paul London.
Mm-hmm.
Both are pretty good.
Yeah, and the surprising thing was Kendrick actually won.
Yeah.
Which, if this would have been SmackDown, I think London and Kendrick would have still been tag team champs.
Probably.
I wonder if this means that they're going to stop with the teased breakup of these two, something they had played with for the last couple of weeks.
That's what I was just going to say, because it seems like, I mean, Jim Ross alluded to that in the broadcast, but it seems like, you know, if they were going to go their separate ways, he wouldn't have alluded to it, and it would have been forgotten altogether. But since he alluded to it, you know, I want to see how these two work together, and they've been having their problems. That's what kind of leads me to believe that this storyline, maybe they're going to be in line for a tag title shot, and then he's going to cost, Kendrick will cost the duo, and then that feud will be revisited at some point.
Very possible.
Now, actually, it would be nice if they moved both of those two over to SmackDown with the returning Gregory Helms and then just started up the Cruiserweight division again, because I need to see some good wrestling on Friday nights.
You have no idea how happy that would make me.
Oh, I've just got my fingers crossed that Mr. Helms decides to show up in a proper shade of green. I can't help it. I'm a hero's mark. Anybody who's traveled with me knows that story.
And we have some setups to some pretty good feuds. Well, they're feuds at least. Probably some decent setup for Backlash. We have JBL, who wants to feud with Orton.
That'll be interesting.
Heel. Why will it work is what I'm worried about.
Yeah, because those are the two biggest heels on the program right now, with maybe the exception of Vince.
I do have a feeling that we're going to see some kind of stupid tag match where it's going to be Orton and JBL against like Triple H and John Cena, kind of like the main events that we saw last year when there was the pay-per-views were just single brand pay-per-views, but you had stars from the other brand crossover. I hope that that's not what happens. I hope, if anything, if there's those four involved, that it's kind of like a fatal four-way. But I think that John Cena and Triple H will somehow be included. They really didn't do anything with those two on Monday night.
That's what was really shocking about Raw, was you didn't see Triple H or Cena until the final segment.
Exactly.
I was getting worried. I sat there thinking about it. I said, this show needs a little more. This show needed more Triple H.
Every Raw needs a little more Triple H. You need a lot more Triple H ever since 2003. With that said, though, next few that could be started up is Big Show and Great Khali.
Oh, gosh.
Well, if anybody can make Khali look decent, show somebody who can tell a good story. If he can make Mayweather look decent, I think he can do something with Khali.
The one thing that disappoints me about this feud is that Cho has gotten so completely over. You know, he comes back, and you were wondering if people kind of forgot who he is. That the same thing that happened with Chris Jericho. But, I mean, Cho has gotten so completely over, and the fact that they put him with Floyd Mayweather initially and nobody knew who the face or who the heel was supposed to be in that entire feud, and then you saw WrestleMania where Show was completely over as the face, and then he got a standing ovation on Raw Monday night, you're thinking, okay, I hope they put him in some kind of major feud, and then they put him over from one of the smallest guys in Floyd Mayweather against the largest wrestler in the WWE. Kind of makes me stale on the whole thing, and I will lose interest in the Big Show, and I hope that nobody else loses interest in the Big Show and that he can run in a worthy program for him, because Khali, I don't think, is really worthy of the Big Show's time.
Khali is not worthy of being on the show, period. But that's just me.
Apparently, too, they edit his matches in India so that he comes out strong. I wish they could edit his matches in the United States so we don't have to see them at all.
I'd just like to know who the editors are that are making him look good, because there's not enough footage to do that.
And there's not enough money to pay those people for all the hard work they do.
Well, I remember when he first was coming up on SmackDown and he was feuding with The Undertaker, they actually canceled one of his pay-per-view matches because they had never seen him wrestle live before. And then they saw him wrestle live and he was so bad.
Are you talking about the Great American Bash match?
Yeah.
No.
That's what I heard the reason was. Well, there's all that internet news, disease.
That was the elevated enzyme of the liver thing where they pulled off, like, Lashley and everybody? Is that the one?
Yeah, that was the one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Andy, I think you're talking about the SummerSlam match.
Was that the SummerSlam? Or?
Yeah, that was SummerSlam.
Okay. Yeah, I know there was some match where they were afraid to put him out there or something because they had never really seen him wrestle live. And they're like, wait, this isn't going to work at all.
Yeah, because I was at the Great American Bash and was semi-disappointed that they pulled Kali, mainly, and laughing at the same time because he got taken from his, they pulled him from his quote-unquote signature match. You know, what's wrong with the writing here?
Punjabi, and ironically, wasn't Big Show the sub for that too?
Yes.
Yep.
And he and The Undertaker put on an excellent match for not having rehearsed anything for it. I was very impressed, but then again, the structure in person is amazing. Laugh at it all you want. You've got to see it in person once. It will scare you.
Let's see what else we have here. We have the official breakup of Santino Marella and Maria.
Santino Marella, he's gold.
Santino is awesome.
Santino's Morella's hair confuses me.
The mohawk?
But it's like longer in the back than it is on top. I mean, I have pretty much the same hairstyle as him with the mohawk, but mine's pretty much consistent length, top and back. His about a good inch longer in the back than it is on top.
Hmm.
Next time you see his hair, it's a sight to see.
I'm usually too busy laughing at him to look at his hair.
I really think that they should take Santino's Casa, which is his online show, and make it like a cabana or a highlight reel, and just have him go out there and talk, because, God, I mean, even though his promo the other night on Raw was controversial, to say the least, it was still drop-dead hilarious.
Oh, absolutely.
Whoever would have thought that when he debuted as that random fan that he would have been such a good talker?
Yeah,
an amazing talker.
Remember his debut? That was terrible. Just a random fan, and he won the Intercontinental title on his debut and then went absolutely nowhere for like 3 months. That's how you get a guy over right there. Make him win a title and then go ahead.
Nikki and I actually saw the birth of the heel Santino in Wheeling at a house show in August. He came out and he went on and on for like, he probably went on for about 10 minutes, and he was so nonsensical, and like at one point people were just laughing at him because of the stuff he was saying, and then his opponent at the time was Umaga, who was a monster heel at the time, and Umaga's music hit and the place went crazy, like, because that's when they were trying out the whole Umaga as a face, so they said, let's try out Santino as a heel. And that kind of started his whole heel persona.
And we have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. He was talking about the afterthoughts of Ric Flair.
Who is this?
This is Jonathan from Tennessee.
Wait a minute.
Hello?
Do you have a brother named Jeffrey?
No. No Jeffrey's in my clan. But I was wanting to talk about the afterthoughts of Ric Flair. Ric Flair had to have been one of the greatest of all time. Would you not agree?
I would say so.
Him and Flying Brian Pillman now enjoy a good retirement together. I must say so myself.
Brian Pillman is reuniting
the whole Four Horsemen almost practically.
Excuse me, but Brian Pillman is dead. He's been dead for about 11 years.
Really?
Yes.
They're reuniting, though. They got Chris Benoit, though.
It's
Hulk.
Nikki, you're right. You got it. Sir, you're making no sense whatsoever, and I have one sound for you.
Whoa!
Dragon, burninate!
I think one of the errant fireworks from the Citrus Bowl hit that fellow in the head.
Who knows? It could be Damian Demento.
No, I think it was the same guy that was on the other week asking us about about wrestling technique.
Why do you think I asked the first questions?
No. I know that. He wasn't going to tell you. Now I got to figure out where the hell we were.
We're talking about Umaga Santino house show.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was because I was going to make the comment the fact that this was also the show where they were rehearsing Jack Doan as Umaga's manager.
Jack Doan.
Okay, now you'll have to remember the Raw that happened the week before these house shows. Umaga came out for no reason, and actually, it was Doan that decided to just let the match go, rang the bell, and then Umaga just pretty much stuffed Santino in a sandwich. This kept on going, where at these house shows, Umaga comes stomping out, and Santino's like, you know, I want to be Intercontinental Champion, but I'm not sure if I really want to try for that tonight. Doan took the microphone and says, you're not sure, but I am, ring the bell. And Umaga served Santino a steaming, fresh, mountain-high pile of squash. I think he got
hurt
that night, too. I also believe this was the night he got injured.
Yeah, this was the night he got injured. I think we pretty much covered everything, except
for
the fact that...
CM Punk Chris Jericho, do you think they're going to make that into a feud?
Probably not.
I don't know.
Placeholder till Jeff Hardy gets back from suspension. If anything,
I would say would set up for Punk setting up for an Edge title regain to push probably the most obvious feud, but probably one of the better feuds, a CM Punk Edge feud.
That would be pretty good.
I'd watch that.
The only thing that I like about, not the only thing, but the one good thing that comes out of CM Punk winning the Money in the Bank is that he can finally get off the albatross that is ECW. I really hope that they move him to Raw. And in JR's blog the other day, I think he alluded to the fact that we may be seeing CM Punk on the A/B team rather than the C team that is ECW. So hopefully that gets done right away. And I wouldn't mind seeing Punk feud with guys like MVP and Kennedy and Chris Jericho on a regular basis.
Even Punk himself called ECW the C show. He made a comment about them being the redheaded stepchild
exactly.
of WWE. So,
that
could happen.
That didn't endear him very well to the boys in the back, and because they all are already not very high on him because they say he's a mark for himself and himself only, and he thinks he's so great. But then, you know, I don't believe that because for somebody that gets through the curtain right after they work a match with Ric Flair and they break down and cry, don't tell me that guy isn't a mark for himself, but he just has a tremendous amount of respect for the business. Unlike a lot of people that work for WWE, so I think that criticism of Punk is unwarranted, to say the least.
It is, and Punk, and something that I admire about Punk is the fact that he's in the business but can still be a mark.
Right.
And I've actually had complaints. I know a couple people who are in the business and have told me that I shouldn't, you know, if I'm going to be at a show, that I shouldn't, you know, mark out, I shouldn't flip out, I shouldn't be enthusiastic about what I'm seeing in front of me. Well, if a wrestler's in the ring, turns around and sees somebody sitting in their seat with their arms crossed and their feet out, you're insulting them.
Exactly.
You go there and you enjoy yourself. You go ahead and mark out. That's why you're on that side of the guardrail.
And
I'm doing it on the other side. Go ahead.
And how many wrestlers do you think Monday night in that arena that were on the other side of the curtain when they walked out onto the stage there, on the Raw stage, how many of those wrestlers do you think marked out? Did you see Edge with the camera at the Hall of Fame ceremony taking pictures? I mean, wrestlers are fans of wrestlers, and I mean, I don't think that there should be, you know, any reason why they shouldn't be marked.
Exactly. And that's how you know, a lot of wrestlers were marks to begin with. Let them be marks.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Read here.
We don't have much time, so let's quickly talk some TNA. And by quickly, I mean not at all.
Oops.
God damn you, Jeffrey, Jason, whoever the fuck called. Let me just say this. 5 members are now on each Lethal Lockdown team. Team Tomko is now Styles, Tomko, Team 3D, and Cowboy James Storm. Team Cage is now Cage, Rhino, Nash, Sting, and Matt Morgan makes 5. It's just announced last night.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the big story. The big story is this. Scott Steiner is finally cashing in his world title shot.
Ah, yes. I remember hearing you bring that up.
Yes. He will cash in that title shot at Sacrifice. And who here is rooting for a Scott Steiner title win?
Not I.
Not I. I haven't watched TNA in like a year and a half, so.
I have TNA episodes from a year and a half in my collection. My brother's just starting to rewatch those.
Actually,
title run is about...
Good.
I lied because I did watch... Well, when was the Paparazzi Championship Series? I watched that religiously.
2006. 2007.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so it's probably even been longer than a year and a half.
Right.
And you were going to say, DJ?
I was going to say a Steiner title run is about 10 years too late. That's
yeah.
All. One of my favorite things that Steiner did, it was on an episode of, I think it was Nitro, where he did his fake retire deal, and then later in the night he turned on, I don't know who it was, at the end of the match, and that was when the reformation of the NWO 2000 came about, where there was Jarrett and like Bret Hart. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, where Steiner was like pouring out his heart earlier in the night, and everybody was cheering him, and then at the end of the night they were just completely dumping on him, and that was just so
right.
Great.
And in the continuing saga of not Shark Boy, but Jay Lethal and SoCal Val, this might be starting up the feud that we've been waiting for, Sanjay Dutt versus Jay Lethal for SoCal Val.
I thought that Lethal and SoCal would be married before we'd start this.
Good point.
They're faithful to the story.
We don't have that much time left. We're about ready to go off the air, and we're going to go off the air on time since we hardly have anything else to talk about tonight. Sir, we didn't get to Ring of Honor news. We'll get to that next week. Andy, any closing thoughts?
I'm glad that Kane finally got a title run longer than 24 hours. So,
yes. And so we must end the show tonight. I'd like to thank once again Andy Duke. You're welcome back on the show here, show anytime.
Hopefully I'll be here next week.
We have DJ. Thank you for coming on the show. Nikki Heyman, always a pleasure.
And I'm always here.
Yes.
Thanks, Robert.
This is Robert Simon saying so long and Dragon.
Love Talk Radio.